online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog, the podcast, the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll take away something that can help improve your company's bottom line. I'm Lon Keller, senior editor here at Sundog Studios. And on the panel today, we are joined by Eric Fish Ista.
Hello.
How you doing, Eric?
Oh, fantastic.
Good to see you again. We also have Darren Livdahl.
Hello, everybody.
How you been?
Good.
Working on our new version of SunWeb.
Yes. Yeah. It's
coming
together.
Soon.
It's looking nice.
We'll see if it's out before the show hits.
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be nice.
Also with us today, producer, videographer, and editor John Lundwall.
Hello.
And our youngest member of the crowd today is Derek Brewer, also a videographer and editor here at Studios.
Howdy. Thanks for having me, Lon.
And I pointed out his age because that's kind of the topic of the show today. We're going to look at how the youth is changing their viewing habits when it comes to television. TV viewing is on the increase as a whole, but what some of you folks may not know is how people are getting their video content. I want to start out today with a portion of an interview from Beat.TV. This is Bill Rizitsky. He's the business development chief for Adobe, and he talks a little bit about how young adults are moving away from traditional TV.
People under the age of 25, maybe a little bit older, but not too much older, that generally they consume their TV on their PC. If they have a big screen, it's often to use a gaming platform. And so that whole notion of, hey, I'm going to get TV when it's delivered to me on that time frame, is something that they don't even understand. They just assume that it's going to be available when they want it, and they're going to use their PC to do it. So if that demographic shift continues and they just continue to sort of grow older without changing the way that they're consuming media, it'll be a massive shift over the next 10 years.
Agree?
Agree.
Yes,
totally.
Definitely.
Oh, pretty much sums me up, too.
Okay, show's over.
And done.
And that's it. Well, Derek, I want to start with you because I know you personally have been working on wanting to reduce some of your utility bills, cable being one of them, and you get more and more of your content just by watching TV through the internet.
Right. Yeah. And I guess, you know, it's one of those things with cable. It gives you a bunch of things that you really don't want. And there's only a few things that I do like to watch on television. So things like Hulu, Fan Nation. I'm also a big sports guy. So like I like to follow the Twins through MLB.com. They have like a really, really great subscription program to watch baseball games. So yeah, I definitely think that, you know, delivering content online is definitely the way to go and the most efficient way to get, you know, what the audience wants to watch.
Fish, are you in that boat too?
Absolutely, yeah. Hulu has become my very best friend because I don't have any others.
So you're part of the evil plot.
I am. I am part of that evil plot to take over the world. No, Hulu. I now watch The Office exclusively on Hulu. I mean, I could watch it on the NBC site too, but I go to Hulu because there's other things there that I watch as well. And then for some reason I've been on this Karate Kid kick lately, and they've got all the Karate Kid movies on there. And
since so, I was
on
six.
Hulu?
On Hulu, yeah.
Wow.
So I'll just like put that on in the background. It's fantastic. I don't have to go rent them anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me. But I think it's kind of funny that this show, what we've rescheduled it like three times to get together. And I think that's a perfect example of why the TV on the web is such a good thing for me, because I'm so busy, I never know what's going to happen next. And it's rather than, you know, finding my shows on the network's time, I'm finding it on my own time now. And
I think it kind of boils down to the question is, what's the reason for doing it? And basically, to me, it seems like it falls into one of three categories, or maybe a combination of all three, and that's economics, convenience, and selection. Economics being, you know, I can't afford my cable bill anymore, so I'm just going to get rid of it. And then the convenience of watching it, you know, when you're ready and not when the networks are showing it, and selection then is there enough content out there on the internet to satisfy the shows that you want to see? So, you know.
Well, just the other day, I went searching for, there's two main shows that I watch on TV, Lost and The Office, and I can get both of those online. I don't even try to watch them on TV anymore. I know there's other shows that I would like to see more often, but I don't. And so I went searching for them, and I was, you know, a little disappointed here and there because, you know, things on the Food Network that I want to see and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of the other networks haven't loaded up their content yet. And it's almost like you're saying, it's almost expected now, or the interview earlier. I just hope that more and more start doing it. And they should.
Is it kind of a result of, you know, the more electronic devices that have come into our lives over the last few years, we find ourselves increasing the amount of multitasking that we're doing? Where I'm going with this is there's a kind of an interesting report from Nielsen recently where they say 31% of all internet activity in the United States occurs while someone is watching regular TV. So they're doing two things at once, and I'm wondering if that's part of where, you know, people are realizing, you know, they're discovering Hulu while they're watching the news or something on TV, and it's like, ding, light bulb goes off. Well, why do I need this if I got this?
Yeah. That, you know, that's interesting because sometimes it is, you know, I'll sit down in front of the TV with my laptop in my lap and start working. I couldn't work and watch TV at the same time if it was strictly on my computer, though. You know, I mean, I guess I would sort of lose that ability to multitask. So, I kind of just thought about that right now. It kind of changed things for me.
I'm almost wondering, you know, sometimes if what I'm watching on TV, you know, if I got the laptop with me, what if I'm watching on TV isn't exactly that thrilling? You know, I'll start shopping around on the internet for some other kind of video and throw the headsets on and, you know, the family can continue watching whatever. And I'll just maybe drift away for a couple minutes.
Tune them all out.
One thing I find interesting, like my parents and stuff, I try to talk to them about how, you know, video, all this is going to be online, that type of stuff is just a way to deliver. And they, you know, they're like, TV's always going to be there. And realistically, you know, TV hasn't really been that long of a time, what, 40s, 50s, something like that. I'm not even sure the time period. So, I mean, to deliver shows, you know, it's relatively new that I think, you know, we could just totally switch over to online, and I don't think anyone would really mind in the long run.
Well, right now, I think the only huge advantage that TV has is the quality,
right?
And that's changing, you know, all the time. I mean, the quality of the internet feed is getting better and better. So, how long is it going to be before you're watching something online that's as every bit as good as what you can get?
As soon as like a 20 megabit or higher connection becomes commonplace, that's live HD quality right there.
I actually do a lot of my TV watching through Xbox Live, and it kind of follows what that person in that interview said quite a bit, where I have my HD TV, I use it as a gaming platform, but then through the Xbox 360 that I have, I have the Xbox Live and the Netflix, which is great because a lot of times I'm clicking through just regular cable and never finding anything I want. So I go to Netflix online or even on my iPod Touch sometimes to add movies or something I want to watch instantly, and then, you know, find it right through Xbox Live and just get it instantly. And the quality there is really good too, comparable to.
What did we watch the other day? Breaking 2.
Yeah, you can get all the, you know.
It's an awesome movie about breakdancing.
There's good movies on there too.
All the world's problems for breakdancing. Yeah. It was fantastic. And it was immediately available to us. Yeah. It was great. There's a blizzard. We're all stuck inside. And let's watch Breaking 2. Yeah. Awesome.
And if it's, you know, if it's not good, you can always, you know, find something else quickly instead of having to run out to the video store or anything like that. But I've found out that I've been getting a lot of use out of that. And when it comes to TV and watching, you know, your favorite TV series on prime time, I'll see like a little clip for a new episode, and I'll say, well, that's neat, but I probably won't be around to watch it when it first airs. And I'll think, well, I can just, you know, rent it or get it instantly through Netflix through my Xbox, and that's
there's
more convenient for
anyone
me.
Who's really following like 24, Prison Break, or whatever. you know, the shows that really can suck you in because of the plot line, there's not that worry anymore that, oh, I'm going to have to miss this episode. I'll just call it up the next day.
Like Lost, you know, I'm saying I don't even try to watch it on TV anymore. I just go about my business and know that I'll catch it on the ABC site whenever I have an opportunity. And Lost is actually presented in streaming HD, so it's a fantastic picture. And I'm pretty sure they have all of the seasons available on there too. So, you know, if you want to get caught up and have 1,000 hours to spare, you can go back and watch those.
I was going
to
ask you about the movie watching that you do. Do you watch chunks of the movie, or do you sit down and watch the whole thing?
I've sat down and watched the whole thing, like Karate Kid, for example. I'll just let it run in the background. but there's a lot of movies on Hulu, and you know what? I did just start watching one the other day, and then something came up, and I stopped it. And that's a great thing about Hulu is if you're signed in, it'll start pick up where you left off. So, yeah, I can just go back to that movie whenever I want to and watch the rest of it.
Netflix on Xbox Live is the same way. You'll come back to the title. It'll say your percentage of the movie that's viewed, and it just asks if you want to resume it. And so,
I think that's another thing that's I find really interesting about watching stuff online is you can at any point look at how much time is left on what you're viewing.
Yeah.
And that little bit of a convenience is kind of nice sometimes when you're kind of multitasking or doing other things. You can look at it and go, okay, I only got like 15 minutes left of this, and then I can move on to something else.
The one downside I can think of is that, you know, with all the streaming of these movies and shows and stuff, it still doesn't give you the let's take it with me. You know, if you want to throw it to your iPod or just take your laptop on a plane or whatever. I mean, you're still going back to old time DVDs or you got to rip a file.
Yeah. Well, which airline is offering Wi-Fi or will be very soon?
Virgin.
Virgin. I thought there was one other one.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I caught Kevin Rose from Dig.com, Dig Nation. He put out a Twitter tweet last week, I think it was, where they were just offering the broadband in flight. Oh. So he fired up his MacBook Pro, had the camera on, and he was broadcasting live from 30,000 feet.
Wow.
And I'm just like, man, this is going to be going fast. I just thought that was pretty cool. I want to change gears a little bit and talk about different platforms, specifically mobile platforms. Do you guys find yourselves watching more and more videos on your cell phones or iPod Touches?
I actually just got an iPod Touch recently, and there's through iTunes, there's a couple series that I subscribe to, and I love getting videos just straight through there. So that's a different way that I can take it with me, and the quality is always great. But that's what I've been using recently and really enjoying it.
Unlike Darren, I have children and can't afford an iPod Touch, so no.
You can borrow mine if you want, just for a couple days.
Yeah, I don't have anything that convenient, but my laptop is with me pretty much at all times, so it might as well be an iPod Touch because it's just there with me.
I also like the iPod Touch just for different things like watching video podcasts too, where I can, if you're just going to coffee shop or somewhere, you can take that with, or just if you're taking a break and walk away somewhere and just watch a little video podcast, it's kind of nice.
Let me ask you this, like for watching a movie on something more mobile like that, where it's really a small screen, are you typically watching a movie that you've seen before? I mean, like part of a movie is kind of getting the experience of the big screen and the sound and everything that goes along with it. How do you, do you watch stuff that you haven't seen before?
I don't watch, that's a good question. I don't watch movies. Like if it's just a simple episode of some series, or especially like a video podcast, I don't really care.
Or like a talking
about
heads, like a news program, like Meet the Press, that works well. Like Lawrence Arabia would probably be a bummer to watch unless you are trying to move it left and right for panorama.
You have your headphones on or whatever, the quality is probably just fine, but I don't want to watch some big epic movie on my iPod Touch. no matter how convenient it is.
Yeah, and you know, I think that holds true. I mean, for me personally, the more traditional way of seeing things. I mean, there's certain movies that are in the theater that I just think I really don't need to spend the money to see this in the theater. You know,
like Breaking.
Yeah,
like Breaking. Yeah, Breaking.
I don't know. That might have been pretty epic. And, you know, I mean, big powerful movies where you the sound and you know just kind of immersing yourself in it. I think is important. I'll go to the theater to see things like that. But you know, there's other movies and just. I'll catch that one later.
Do you find yourselves sharing links to full-length programs or movies, similar to, you know, here's a little cool video on YouTube of a cat dancing? I mean, you know, that's kind of what people would say, you know, this is cool, and they pass it on to their friends. Are you doing the same thing with the full-length features?
Not the full-length features. I guess I've been doing a lot of clips. There's been a lot of fun stuff on The Daily Show lately that I've been sharing with people. And that's not, they're not full episodes. I've just been passing along the clips from the show, that from, you know, the night before sort of thing.
So more professionally created content.
Yeah.
You know, just small clips of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How much are you watching over the lunch hour now that mobile video is... and internet video is more prominent with these shows? Are you catching up on your shows during
lunchtime? Usually when I watch Lost is over lunch. I'll watch part of Karate Kid today now because I've been talking about it and I watch it.
You know, there's other movies besides Breaking and Karate Kid.
There's Karate Kid 2. There's
that's right.
There's Karate Kid 2.
Karate Kid 3.
Karate Kid 2 is my favorite. I like 2.
Right?
That was a good one.
Where do you guys think this is all going to go? I mean, is it, the trend is obviously towards mobile right now. Do you see cable going away? Do you see satellite TV going away once everyone has that very high-end access to the internet?
Yeah, I don't think it will go away. I think it'll just become more on demand. I mean, you know, the cable companies are already offering internet, and you know, so the infrastructure is in place there. I think the boxes will turn into more of a computing unit. You know, I mean, you can essentially use your TV as a monitor, I would think, and you just sort of get a sort of a simple selection, kind of like an Apple TV sort of thing, I think it would be. And so you can call up, you know, I would imagine the networks are going to start making it available. And, you know, I had this sort of perfect picture in my head where you can like create your own network almost and, you know, set up. So I can't see Lost on Wednesday nights. I'm going to set it so it plays for me on Friday nights, you know. And
I can't remember what plasma manufacturer it is. I think it was Pioneer, but they're building an Ethernet jack right into the TV. So there's like Netflix built into it. Okay, so do you think that is where things are going to be heading down the road, or is it going to, you're still going to have some sort of a box?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be
hooked to a dumb monitor,
integrated eventually, you know. But I think
cable is going to go completely out of the way. I think, you know, it's the internet, just as it gets faster, you know, it's just a way to deliver anything, any type of information. So I don't see why television or TV shows would be any different. And I'm assuming if you're able to get like up to those higher speeds you're talking about before, how that wouldn't be more efficient than cable. You know, you're able to do a lot more things with it. And I don't know. I could just see that completely going, and the cable companies just switching solely over to being a provider for internet.
I think, though, that it the type of service will change. I don't think that necessarily cable will go away. I think they've got, hopefully they see the writing on the wall that they need to take advantage of the way things are being distributed as well. But I think that there's still a big group of people out there that are willing to pay for a service, and as long as that service is providing something that they can't get somewhere else. And I'm not exactly sure what that will be in the future, but I think that there's still going to be some sort of that, at least for a while, and I think the lines are going to get blurry between the two. But I don't think it's going away maybe as fast as we think. However, the fact that how fast this is catching on the internet side of things is maybe a little bit faster than some people were anticipating.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot kind of like cell phones. I remember growing up how people would always say, oh, you always need your landline. Who's just going to have a cell phone? And look at those numbers changing. It seems like the same type of debate. And, you know, I think we're going to be 20 years from now and say, like, who still is paying $60 for a cable when, you know.
but you know, the difference there, too, is what your phone has become. You know, mobily is totally different than what your landline was. Your landline was
right.
just a phone for calling people.
Mm-hmm.
Now your phone has become so much more. So I, you know, right. if the that's why I mean the service that's being provided by a cable company might still have some hold there if they figure out how to, you know, right. kind of combine the mm-hmm. two.
From a advertisers and marketing point of view, what can they do to take advantage of this new shift away from traditional broadcast to this content delivered on the web and on mobile phones? What should they be looking for?
I think you're going to see a lot more whole show sponsored type things. And that actually catches me a little bit more than, you know, traditional commercials during right. a program now. You know, I mean... I'm trying to like Hulu. I mean, there's always before the show starts, mm-hmm. it's, you know, this show brought to you with limited commercials by so and so. You see the same commercial four times through the show, and it kind of sticks with you. I mean, you know, they always talk about repetition in advertising.
Do you ever do the option where you can watch the longer commercial at the beginning?
No, I finally came across it. I hadn't really seen that until just the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that before, and that's it's very interesting, and, uh-huh. and you'll sit there and watch, you know, if it's a 2-minute segment or whatever on whatever product, it just seems for some reason I'll sit there and watch that mm-hmm. more than I would if I was watching TV.
Yeah, you know? I found myself clicking too. I mean, some of the ads that'll come up, it's like a full screen thing, and then they have like a small ad playing, and then there's other information kind of off to the side, and there's mm-hmm. links that you can go off of, and I've actually found myself clicking through that stuff just because it's so readily available. It's right there. I know at any moment I can just say, I don't care about this, and go back to my show. And I think it's become very effective for me.
And from an audience's perspective, I think you're a little more captive in the sense that you can't click away. You can't, you know, when you're watching it online, you gotta wait for it to finish the commercial. So you don't really have that option as much, you know, unless. Yeah.
I felt so stupid the other day because I was watching Lost, and it tells you, it gives you a little countdown set when your program is going to start again. And so the commercial's running, and it must have been like a 2-minute commercial or something. And really, they only ask you to stay there for 30 seconds, then you can start your program again. I totally got caught up in the commercial and like just sat there and watched it. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I can start this stupid thing. What am I doing? So, yeah, they got me.
Well, the ad models that are out there now for online video seem to be working pretty well because there isn't anyone in the room here that is upset or feel like, you know, they're being sold something, even though technically you are being sold something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. You know, online is an opportunity for an advertiser to tell a much bigger story than they would typically get, I think, in traditional means. But what does that mean for the smaller guys? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Coke and Pepsi and whoever else and FedEx, I mean, they're going to be able to tell these big grand stories. And yeah, they'll probably be the ones knocking on the door saying, you know, we want in on this online entertainment stuff. But then what happens to local advertising? What happens mm-hmm. to the smaller companies that can't afford to sponsor an entire program?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're going to find a little bit of a benefit because you're able to be a lot more directed and targeted in, you know, your audience. Let's say that they do like that commercial they have. You can click right to their website, whereas when you're doing a TV, you have no idea where these people are going, so the costs are just inflated on these huge media buys, and you're just showing this big, huge shotgun out there. And really, the only people that can truly use television effectively are the people like the Pepsis and the Coca-Colas who have these huge budgets, where you could just maybe sponsor, like, you know what? Karate Kid is going to get people like Fish, and I know Fish likes a certain type of sweater, and I'm just this local small market, and I can put all this money on this Hulu thing, and I can see exactly how well that's working. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be huge for kind of like the smaller people or people who just really want to take advantage of that new money just shifting, because there's no longer needed to have a huge cable network thing set up where it's all this expense just to try to get a message out to an audience that you have no idea who's watching it.
I think there's also another opportunity here for the people that are making the content. You know, okay, you can't afford the office, mm-hmm. but now you've got an opportunity right. for a lot of other people to start making something, and you know that's a lot cheaper, and if it's good. And it gets viral and catches on and people are watching it, that will attract advertisers that, you know, can't afford The Office or can't afford the NBC style shows and things like that. So there's a huge door opening, I think, for advertisers of all sizes. Mm-hmm. You just have to, you know, find a show that's going to work, that's going to, you know, and it could be created by somebody anywhere. It doesn't have to be coming out of Hollywood. It doesn't have to be coming out of any of the major networks. Mm-hmm.
Few extra tasks for media buyers around the company.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. As always, if you have questions or comments for any of the panelists here at Sundog, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net, and audio comments, of course, are always welcome. For Sundog the Podcast, this is Lon Keller. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. See ya.
Say goodbye, Derek.
Goodbye.